My attention was drawn the other week to a sermon on YouTube. It was by this Scottish minister who had a church in Mayfield, just outside of Edinburgh, about a mile and a half outside of Edinburgh in the Mayfield district. And you might have seen something about this sermon in Premier Magazine or read something about it on the internet. What was so significant about this sermon? Well, it was the fact that the minister stood up and said that he did not believe that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sin. The theology of substitutionary atonement, let's break that down a little bit. Substitutionary, Jesus is our substitute. Atonement, at one with God, if you like. The theology that Jesus died in our place on the cross for our sin, that we might be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Jesus dying on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God and have eternal life is the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. And to this minister and to others, this theology, and I quote it from this sermon, is ghastly, immoral, outdated, and a disease of the Protestant Church. I say, and to others, because I was talking to someone else about this sermon that I had listened to, and they said that when they were at Spring Harvest, they were in a meeting, and it was suggested that they sing In Christ Alone, the Stuart Townend one that we'll sing at the conclusion of this meeting. And the person leading the meeting said, well, thank you very much for suggesting that we sing that song, but I don't want to sing it because I don't like it. Because I don't like the theology that Jesus died on the cross. I don't like the words, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here, in the death of Christ, I live. Don't like it. Neither does this Scottish minister like it. The idea that God should demand blood for our sin to them is not an idea fit for this modern age. And to quote, is a hindrance to evangelism. To them, the church down the ages has got it wrong. When John Wesley penned the words, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood, died he for me who caused him pain, he, along with other hymn writers, just got it wrong. People like this Church of Scotland minister and this church leader at Spring Harvest say that Jesus never said that he was going to die for man's sin. And they say that if you read the Bible and know history, you will know that Jesus died because the Romans didn't like him. And that was it. And when I say this Scottish minister and this other minister at Spring Harvest believe that, I was at a meeting this Easter, actually, where not a million miles away from here, a church minister said that the reason why Jesus died on the cross was because the Romans didn't like him. They say that the idea that Jesus died for our sins was made up by a theologian, Anselm of Canterbury, in the 10th century. Well, I don't know what Bible he's reading. He's not reading the same one as mine. Because throughout Scripture, it points to Jesus who died on the cross for you and I, that we may have eternal life. People like this Scottish minister and the minister at Spring Harvest and the minister I heard over Easter ignore what the Bible says. Let's look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to read it, 19 verses here, but it's worth meditating upon and worth thanking Jesus for what he's done for us, because in the New Testament, Jesus identified himself with the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. You remember John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What was he doing? He was identifying Jesus as a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, a lamb without blemish was sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people, so that the people might be forgiven. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. Let me read Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In Luke 4, when Jesus stood up in the temple, he identified himself with that servant. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's Saviour. He identified himself with the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. Matthew says, That evening they brought to him, that's Jesus, many who were oppressed by demons and cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. John 2:2 says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You can't get more clearer than that. You can't argue with that. Yet objectors will say, it's not fair, it's not proper justice that someone else should pay for someone else's wrongdoing. It's not fair. That's why it's called grace. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve the fact that Jesus died for us. No. But such was his love for us that he did it anyway. Greater man has no man than this, and he laid down his life for our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. What could be clearer than that? That he died for us, that we might have everlasting life. He sent Jesus to die for us because there was no other way. We are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. There is no way by which we can climb the mountain and reach him. Jesus came and lived the perfect life for us because we were not perfect. We are not perfect because there is no other way. So this Scottish minister says, well, there's no... When Jesus died on the cross, he just did it as showing that, oh, to be a good example, you know, just love your neighbours and do good and love your neighbours and do more good and God will love you and one day you'll get to heaven if you're good enough. Because essentially that's what it does. This theology has consequences. If Jesus did not live a perfect life and die in our place, then he's no one special. He's just a man. He's just one of the prophets or a good man. Then it has other implications, because how are we to have eternal life? Through godly living comes the reply, but the Bible says that we are depraved and corrupt in nature. Through Adam all have sinned, Romans 13:1. And this Scottish minister has got an answer for that. Paul got it wrong. The idea that we're all sinners and there's no hope for us is against common sense. And we need to rework this theology, says this Scottish minister. So not only is Christ stripped of his role and divinity, the authority of original sin is debunked. You do away with the Saviour, you do away for the need of a Saviour. But hallelujah, we know the truth. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Gal and I watched this video. We've watched it a number of times. And we thought, well, how can this Scottish minister call himself a Christian? Because if Jesus didn't die on the cross, what are they celebrating? What are they singing all these hymns for? You know, which mention the fact that Jesus died on the cross. And it's a funny thing at the end. I know that Ellen's watched it. Did you say, he said, you know when we sing John Wesley's hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood? I don't agree with it, but we can sing it for fun anyway. Can't believe it. Praise the Lord. That God has revealed his love to us. That God has sent his Son Jesus to die for us. That we might have everlasting life. That our sin is forgiven. Praise the Lord that there is no other way, because Jesus said he is the way, the truth and the life, and no one else comes to the Father but by me. You see, this kind of woolly theology is all this sort of politically correct theology that, oh yes, we can all believe what we like, because when we get to the top of the mountain, we might be on different stages on the mountain climbing up to God, but when we get to the top, we'll all merge together. And this Scottish minister, as Hindus preach at his church, and quotes Buddhists and goodness knows what. Well, I prefer to keep to the Bible, to be honest. because it's God's word, and it is life, and Jesus is life for us. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. We're going to share communion together. As I say, if you know Jesus as Lord, is your Lord and Saviour, if you acknowledge that Jesus died for you on the cross, that your sin might be forgiven, then you are to share communion. I don't know what they do at his church when they come to communion, because I don't know what they say. I only do it for fun. Yeah, probably that's it. Father, we thank you. Oh, that you have revealed yourself in Jesus. That Jesus humbled himself. And that he endured the cross. Not to show us how to be faithful, although that is part of what he did, I'm sure. Not to show us what a good man he is, though that's part of it, I'm sure. But to pay the price for our sin. To take the wrath of God. On the cross he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He knew the separation from you as he took the burden of the guilt of mankind upon his shoulders. Father, thank you that he died for me. And Father, I thank you that because Jesus died for me, I can have a relationship with you. So tonight, Lord, as we take this blood, as we drink this juice and we eat this bread, let us remember your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.